and welcome to Modern Makers, where we explore arts, crafts, technology, and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Julia Gerthy.
Today we are talking with Cameron Forrest Lewis of Cameron Forrest Designs. She makes custom snow globes that are very interesting and unique, and you're based in Colorado.
Yes, we are.
How in the world did you get started making these custom snow globes?
Well, I had always been interested in very tiny, small things. I've always liked making my own dollhouse furniture and collecting charms and Cracker Jacks things. Little things always interested me. And as I became an adult, I got interested in snow globes, and I never really collected them. But my husband was asked to make some and repair some for someone once, and I got really intrigued, and I started researching them and found out that no one left in the United States was making snow globes. We used to have quite an industry here in the 50s. There were several companies that made them, but they've now been all sourced overseas. So I sort of explored, if I took my love for miniatures and put them in a snow globe, since he was able to do that for me, and took the fact that instead of just having a piece of art that held still, that every time you touched it, you're kind of in control of changing it and swirling it, and that you could have several pieces of art in one. So that's kind of how I got started. I did our first little tiny show, and I was terrified that people would think they were very strange and silly, and instead we won fan favorite best of show, and that was really exciting. So there was some positive response, so I started taking it a lot more seriously and seeing what I could do within the confines of a snow globe.
That must be a very difficult product to make, because the items inside the snow globe are so delicate, but yet they have to be secure enough that you can shake them and they don't go anywhere.
And most importantly, I've had to learn a lot about physics, because my personal opinion is that physics should not have any control over art, but physics disagrees. So I started out, for example, I can make you a beautiful snow globe with a vintage grandfather clock in it. And when you shake it, it would have little watch gears floating around and swirling. And that would be wonderful for about 3 weeks. And then it will turn solid orange because it will rust. Mm-hmm. So I've had to learn all the things that you can put in a snow globe in the liquid that won't discolor or rust or dissolve or deteriorate over time. And so that's one of the most interesting things about snow globes, is that the things that you see in there are mostly all illusion, because what they appear to be had to be protected and sealed so that it would not discolor or dissolve in the liquid.
So you're a chemist as well as a physicist.
No, my husband does. I make the sculptures and then I tell them what all the components are, and he has to spend a lot of time. There's a lot of hand painting of different sealants on, a lot of different testing. We've tested different components and liquids. And the glitters and micro dust that we use, which are very unusual, we've been working on for about 20 years. And so when you'll see that our snow globes, rather than shaking them and having the crumbly kind of white snow, which is very traditional, we'll use like a dense black micro glitter that will make that snow globe completely solid black for a brief moment, and then sink down, and it will be completely clear when it sinks. So finding those kind of really, for us, exciting glitters and confettis and shapes and dusts and colors that work in the liquid, just beautiful, mystical kind of special effects, is really fun.
I'm sure you've had some really exciting moments experimenting with certain products. And
I don't know if it's exciting, but when you find one that works really well. We have one we're working with right now. The globe is called Fire and Ice. When you shake it, it's completely red, and then there's a lingering white dust that lasts for 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it's literally like winter has come. And so we get excited about those little things, and some people think that's not what you need to get excited about, but we have a lot of fun putting them together.
When did you start making these snow globes? You were mentioning that show where you won Best in Show. When was that?
I've been doing it for about 7 years, almost full-time for 7 years. My husband, though, has been making snow globes for 20 years.
And when you joined forces, did the product and the business start to take off?
Well, they're two entirely different things. He actually makes snow globes. It's a different arm of what we do, and I'm not that involved in what he does, but he has a company where people send him digital photographs, and artwork, and he will put them in a custom snow globe for that person. Mm-hmm. And so they get to design, they get to look at all the confettis and shapes that he offers them in the base, and they can have it engraved. So you get to design a snow globe, but he physically makes it for you. So that's what he had done, but I wanted to do the kind of little world that could go in a snow globe, which you can't do in a mass production way in the same way. So mine are more fine art, and his is actually a separate company that people let you do. You can do whatever you want in a snow globe.
Once you got started and got that validation from the show, did you begin selling them online right away, or how did that process go?
Shortly after that, I applied to some of the larger art festivals in Colorado. And so the first one that we got into that was a large festival was the Cherry Creek Arts Festival, which is, this is kind of like telling you, well, I thought I'd write a novel on the weekend, and I got picked up, and I was the number one on the New York Times list. It was like a big jump from where I was to doing that level of art festival. So the first one we did as an emerging artist was Cherry Creek. And we did a few festivals that first year, because we were just trying to figure out all the things you need to do that, and realized that we would have about 6 months of downtime where we could not be out at festivals, one because of the weather and the travel and just the logistics of it all. So that's about when we started the website pretty early on. We have a website through WordPress that's literally CameronForrest.com, but we also added an Etsy shop. And that was for people who said, you know, I'm not going to be in the festivals, you know, I'm not going to be in that area where you're at, that people were interested or they wanted to do follow-up after the show. So we simultaneously had the Etsy shop, and then we have a website which has more stories about the globes and photos and is more personal.
How do people find you? I mean, I think that your product is one that people don't know they want until they see it.
They don't, although there are a number of people who collect snow globes and snow domes, and quite often they will put something like fine art snow globe or snow globes made in the United States, something like that, into Google to see if they can find something for a friend. When a friend has an extensive collection of snow globes, you don't know if you're going to buy them that Mickey Mouse that they already have three of or whatever, but if you buy one of ours, they are all made one at a time. So that the chances are they will never have seen that globe before. So we get a lot of people who buy them as gifts for other people, either because the subject matter is something they feel will be important to that person, or because they know that it's going to be a unique item, that the person loves snow globes but couldn't have one that's a one of a kind.
How do you use, or do you use, social media to help?
I do have a Facebook page, and that's just for the business that we promote on. And I will be honest, I'm terribly lapsed about doing things like Twitter and Instagram. And the young people in my life have urged me to get with the program, and I hope to do that. But at this moment, we don't do Instagram or Twitter, but we do Facebook and a blog and Etsy. And so I will also just generally search, like I will Google snow globes and snow domes and things myself, because I'm interested to see, eventually someone else in the United States has to start making them. It seems so unlikely that we remain to be the only professional snow globe makers in the United States, but so far. And oddly enough, I found some of my snow globes featured on Reddit, for example, that I didn't put there. So
right.
Somebody was at an art festival, asked if they could take a photo, and then they posted on Reddit because they liked the subject matter. That's kind of a curious thing, too. There's a lot of connectedness or bouncing around. So that if I do a snow globe, like the one recently I did that had an airship in it, sort of a Zeppelin with a pirate ship below, and it was very steampunky, the steampunk community will pick up on that. But if we do something that's, I've done one with sunflowers and bees and whatnot, and that'll get picked up by people who are gardening aficionados. So it's a kind of a lot of times something just grabs people because they're interested in that topic as well.
Right, so you have a natural way to connect to certain special interest groups.
Right.
Taking a step back, you mentioned you've been doing this for 7 years. What was your profession before this?
I was actually a writer.
Uh-huh.
But I do public information and media for the state government. So my degree is in journalism, although I studied fine art in college. My actual degree is in journalism, and I did journalism and public information for my career. And I left a job as a spokesperson for an agency to pursue this full time.
Do you see any connection between your past life and what you do now?
I think it shows up in the blog that it's really easy for me to write the little essays because I used to write for a living. So to write about them is easy. And I think I understand somewhat how to use the media to get the word out about what we're doing. Although I will tell you that since my career began and end in public information, the media changed so much it's not recognizable. When I started, we didn't have the internet. Let's put it that way.
Right.
We did. If you wanted to get a press release out, you typed it up and made copies and you mailed it to people. And then we were excited when we got a fax machine. So things have changed a lot in that aspect. But certainly being aware of how people share information, how the media looks for stories and ties in several things that are happening. So if they have an event that's about a particular topic and you are making art on that topic and you're promoting it at the same time, they can sort of have a flavor in a particular issue that comes in. So you want to get your word out as often as possible and tie into those things.
I think what you're saying is really true about telling your story. Mm-hmm. It seems like other people that I've talked to have talked about, you know, sharing your story and how important that is in getting people to connect with what you're doing. So it seems like you're totally spot on about being able to write these essays and why people are drawn to your work. They probably are very interested in hearing your story and getting that intimate look into what...
Some people are really interested in the story as much as the artwork. And that'll often happen at art festivals, that somebody will come up. And I almost feel like they aren't looking at the intricacy of the design or how it, some of the things will take me months to make, but they'll look at the fact that it's called Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys, and they'll be enthralled with simply the title.
Right.
And that will be it. They own that globe. And as I say, and after you buy it, you do own those monkeys. So, yeah, it's interesting that the words and the descriptions and the stories seem to be as important to people as the actual physical art.
You mentioned a couple of unexpected accolades that you received. Mm-hmm. What about unexpected press? Any big moments where you were featured in a magazine or in
the
media?
Yes, a couple that were really interesting and fun. One is there is a book called The Art of Steampunk by an author named Art Donovan. And Art Donovan did an exhibition, a steampunk exhibition, and all the artists that were featured in it, he included a section on them in his book. I was not in that. I wasn't even doing, you know, wasn't well known for doing that. But they decided to do a second edition, and they wanted him to add to it, and he contacted me and asked me if I would be in the book. And of course, you say yes, that would be exciting, and send him the photos and work with the editors, and they added me into the second edition of the book. The book came out the same week that we did the Cherry Creek Arts Festival, and the publishers were great at publicity, and so they contacted the newspapers in all the cities where the artists were from and said, hey, this artist is going to be featured in our book. The newspaper, Westward, which is our arts and entertainment weekly in Denver, made the connection that we were both premiering at the Cherry Creek Arts Festival and in the book at the same time, and so they did a big splashy thing, which was really fun. In the United Kingdom, there's a miniature magazine on dollhouse miniatures, and they also did a feature on the snow globes, which was very interesting because it came full circle since I started as a dollhouse maker, you know, making those things. But I never thought they would see making snow globes as something that the miniature community would be interested in. They did a lovely feature on us, too. And then we've mostly just had coverage of events we've participated in. The Glass Museum in Sandwich, Massachusetts, which is right outside Boston, did a retrospective of the history of snow globes about 4 years ago now, I think it was, 3 or 4 years ago. And they contacted us, and they said they had the original snow globe from the Paris Exposition, which was in the 1860s.
Mm-hmm.
And they had collections going through the Austrian globes of the 1900s and the Hula Girls of the 50s and so on. And they asked if we would represent the modern snow globe, which, of course, you think for all of 3 seconds to say, well, I think I'm free for that. That sounds good. So we did that, and they actually featured us on the cover of the brochure, one of our snow globes. And then so we got a lot of press coverage from that because people who went to the exhibition and they saw the traditional snow globes, you know, the snowman and the globes and the holiday themes and the ballerinas, were then surprised to see very modern, industrial, mechanical, tactile kind of globes as well. And so we got a lot of interest after that.
What's next for you? what's your big picture plan?
Well, I'm always working on globes. In fact, I don't know if you went to my website recently, but there was a picture, and I'm actually wearing a top hat, and I'm holding a snow globe in my hand.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that was that's weird, because every once in a while, the local steampunk society says, oh, come out and do something with us, and I did. And that globe sold this week. And we always try to have one airship on hand. They're the most intricate thing. It's like the opposite of making a ship in a bottle, because you're making a ship in a snow globe, and it's every little detail is going to be enlarged by the glass on the water, so it's very fine work. So we'll be working on those. This summer we're doing fewer shows than we did in the past, just because we're traveling most of June, and so we're not going to be doing shows, but we're doing some shows in Denver. We're doing the Crest Tribute show and the Cherry Arts Festival in Denver, and then we'll be back at the Chicago One-of-a-Kind show in December. And then it starts all over again. So basically doing the same, probably going to be looking into Instagram and Twitter before people keep yelling at me. But just working on those things, doing more of the intricate things that I have time to do right now. I need to ask one person if I can tell you about this, but I do have an exhibition that I'll be part of in September, and I just need to contact him and ask if he's released the information yet. But one of the reasons we're not traveling a lot this summer to festivals is because we're going to be part of a very big exhibition in September on the East Coast.
Oh, cool.
And I surely wish he would let me tell you about
yes.
it. So that's one of the reasons. Because we're doing, we'll be one of a dozen artists in a very large exhibition. I've got to make some of the larger pieces. We do double snow globes once in a while, and so they're very—they're about 2 feet high.
Oh my gosh!
And the glass cannot be that big. We don't make globes as big as a basketball because nobody can lift them and shake them. They're just a disaster. But we'll do snow globes that are stacked. And we've been working on snow globes that are more like tube shaped. So I make vertical snow globes. So one example would be if you have a vertical snow globe and you put a small figure in it, when you shake it up and down, it looks as though it's one of the crew members on Star Trek that's beaming up and beaming down. So that's one of the things where we're pushing the envelope of what can you do with a snow globe. So making kind of fun stuff. So I'm working on some larger pieces for the exhibition just because I know the other artwork is going to be massive. And while I'd love people to come up and look at something that's 4 inches tall, it does get dwarfed by the other large pieces.
This is so interesting. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And now I want to go back and look at more of your pieces with a different perspective,
cool.
Looking at that glitter and whatnot.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Modern Makers Podcast. This production has been made possible by the Webster University School of Communications, producer Jim Singer, and production assistant Lindsay Schwartz. I'm host Julia Griffey. For more information, visit our website, www.modernmakersproject.com.